All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here. Did you guys have a great Valentine's Day? Well, good, because welcome to hell. We're going to be playing Ni no Hakanawa, the Dollhouse. And this is, well, you'll see. This visual novel contains gory images. Some viewers may find them disturbing. Please choose how you want them displayed. We recommend off if you're not sure. Even when set to off, please beware that there are still violent scenes of depictions such as blood splatter. You can change the setting at any time. Obviously, we want the gore on. The story is a work of fiction. As we proceed with the production plan, which included thorough research and inspection, various accidents made it difficult to faithfully reproduce the events. We kindly ask for your understanding. Round and round went the blades of the fan. Leaning back in his chair, the man let out a sigh as he stared at the ceiling. He was alone at a table for two and almost finished with his coffee. Ghosted, huh? It was suspicion that didn't particularly bother him. For his line of work, he was very average, but of course, when there are a lot of outliers, being average isn't the same thing as being normal. He was a paranormal investigator, and his field was full of outliers. But don't misunderstand, he didn't become one because he was interested in the occult. It was just the first job he could land out of college. Some publishing company hired him, and human resources decided that writing and editing for a spooky tabloid was where he belonged. He wasn't exactly thrilled, but hey, a job's a job. She seemed like a good lead, too. Guess I'll have to find someone else. He couldn't help but be annoyed about having wasted his time. He cleared his throat and noted the lingering taste of coffee in his mouth. It matched his mood, faintly bitter. This definitely wasn't his dream job. He couldn't understand what got people so excited about obviously doctored photos, made-up stories, and untreated mental illness. When he first started, it didn't interest him at all. Over the years, though, he found ways to enjoy his work. The occult is boring. The crazy people who get drawn into it, though, they're interesting. He knew it wasn't nice of him to think that way, but he couldn't help himself. It was either that or lose the only motivation he had. I'm terribly sorry I'm late. He jumped in his seat and scrambled to sit up straight before checking to see who was sitting across from him. When did she get here? It was his source, she bowed apologetically, appearing not to notice the reporter's confusion. I'm sorry, but mother wanted me to go shopping with her, and I lost track of the time. I'm really sorry. She glanced at his coffee and called a waiter over while scanning the simple menu beside the table. I'd like a milk tea, and please bring one for him as well. Oh, no thanks. I'm just glad you can make it. If anything, I should cover the bill. Nonsense. It's the least I could do after keeping you waiting. All right, then. Thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you, waiter. That'll be all. The waiter nodded and went off to get their drinks. The reporter tried to look politely sheepish, but truth be told, he was relieved. His employer wasn't exactly Fortune 500 material, and his reporting wasn't anything special. They didn't pay him enough to throw his money around buying drinks for sources. This way, he wouldn't have to charge it as a business expense and put up with the nagging from accounting that would ensue. Money never did grow on trees. Anyway, how are you? We can wait to do the interview if you need a moment to catch your breath. I appreciate your concern, but that won't be necessary. So, what did you want to ask me? She frowned a little, as though hesitant to talk, but the reporter gave her a look that said he was ready to get down to business. I'm told you know a thing or two about the Katori Bako. Oh, I've just heard stories, really. I don't know how true it is. I can tell you what I know, but there's a lot of gaps in jumping around. Not a problem. Filling in those gaps is what I do. By the way, you don't mind that I'm recording this, do you? The source nodded feebly, giving him a twinge of satisfaction. The Curse of the Katori Bako. Rumors about it were commonplace among online enthusiasts of the weird and frightening, although no one could determine when they had started circulating. The story was a kind where some sort of long-suffering minority would get revenge on their oppressors through supernatural means. In this case, they did it by making the box, a process which supposedly involved a dark ritual where they sacrificed little girls. The box could cause serious injury or death to anyone who touched it, and no one who laid eyes on it would come away completely unscathed. That sounds like another box I'm familiar with. It was said to be especially deadly for young girls whose insides it would tear out. That definitely sounds like a box I'm familiar with. The details would vary like they always did, but that was the gist of it. The paranormal tabloid he worked for decided to run a feature on the box, and ever the diligent reporter, he was doing the legwork of investigating the rumors. After all, anyone could regurgitate what they found on the internet. He needed to give people something they hadn't heard before. He'd been asking around out in the sticks, and that was what brought him to set up this interview. I gotta say, this has been a fascinating journey. I should have just about everything I need. All that's missing is that one special something. He'd worked long and hard to find a source this promising. I've talked to a lot of people who said it was in their family shrine or that their parents had it in storage somewhere. The story always ends with some kind of horrible accident. Now it's time to find out. How would it go this time? So if you'd be so kind. Very well then. Where do I start? It's supposed to be very old. She had finished her tea and the ice was melting in the glass. It shifted noisily as she began her story. There was an island, not all that far from mainland Japan. On a clear day you could see the mainland from the shore. But it wasn't terribly close either. Just a little fog and there'd be nothing but ocean as far as the eyes could see. It wasn't a large island, certainly not the size of a country, but it was home to several villages. They were humble places where the people made their living by cultivating the land or helping themselves to the ocean's bounty. Their lives could have been so simple, but alas, they wouldn't be able to remain isolated on their island forever. There was a river that ran through each village. That's where the story began, on one of the river's banks. A crowd had gathered. You could tell they were poor by the way they dressed, although there were a few who looked somewhat more well-to-do. Merchants, perhaps. The mass of people were circled around something all facing toward a single spot. It wasn't an everyday kind of gathering. Where they were looking, the riverbank's gravel turf had been stained a dark red, the color of dried blood. A dirty, emaciated man sitting with his arms tied behind his back was the object of their gaze. He was silent, staring down at the blood-stained ground. Droplets of cold sweat ran down his face a few at a time. There was murmuring in the crowd, the people talking amongst themselves. There was no conspiratorial note to their whispering, however. It was merely the grumbling of riffraff. Another one for the chopping block, huh? It's disloyalty to the daimyo, supposedly. How many's this make? You should have known what would happen. What are you gonna do? Just the way it goes. We're getting taxed to death. Hell, I don't know if we're gonna make it through the winter. I guess we just have to hope for the best. Oh, yum, I love having hope for dinner. Huh? Hey, what are you getting at? We're not people to them. They kill us. You can't kill every weed in a field. Still sweating, the man with his arms bound left. Behind him stood a samurai official, sword in hand. The sword that would end the bound man's life. You got that right. We're lower than the damn weeds, aren't we? That very moment, a foot came into his field of vision, gravel crunching beneath it. It belonged to the governor, the one appointed by the daimyo lord. He surveyed the crowd, meeting the people's gazes, and they fell silent in an instant.
Dios.
Good. The governor nodded, smirking, and without a word, he gave his official the signal to go ahead. Sir, you sure we shouldn't allow him any last? No point. The governor said no more and gave the signal again.
So da yo na. 無実のやつを進んで切りたかねえもんな。
Must be rough, buddy, having to kill an innocent man.
おい、大官さんよ。こっちのお役人はあんたよりまだマシってもんだぜ。
You know, Governor, I think your little manservant's outdone you. He just might have a conscience. The governor looked down on the peasant in stony silence. He had already given his order. The crowd watched with bated breath. They knew the small act of defiance meant nothing, but they were curious to see what would happen.
なんで俺たちがこんなに絞られなくちゃならねえんだ?
You take everything we've got. Why is it never enough?
取った魚も、取った稲も、何もかんも持っていかれて、四六時中腹をすかしていなきゃなんねえんだ。
You take the fish we catch. You take the rice we grow. And meanwhile, we're here starving.
なあ、おかしいと思わねえのか?俺たちは十分すぎるほど貢いでるじゃねえか。
Don't you see anything wrong with that? We've given you everything.
それを。
And what do we get for it?
それをだ。
やれ。
Do it.
おめえらに全部持っていかれて、お母も息子もみんな死んじまったんだ。
You took it all. You killed my mama. You killed my son. You killed them.
それをおかしいと言って、何が悪い。
And you say I'm the criminal because I don't want to put up with it? The serf had a crazed look in his bloodshot eyes. The angry red veins branching through them made it look as though he had cried every last tear his ducks could hold. The executioner looked at him without pity, as though he were a feral dog that was going to be put down. You bastards! Go to hell! All of you! A pox on your houses!
周りの奴らもみんなこのままじゃ絞り殺されちまうぞ。
And don't think any of you are getting off either. They'll do the same to you.
あのクソ領主に殺され。
Your daimyo's a cold-blooded snitch. His head rolled off and fell to the ground. The cut was clean and professional. The governor grinned as he watched blood begin to spill over the rocks. When he was satisfied, he turned to the crowd and spoke.
これと意を同じくする両替者はいるか?
Any of you ingrates care to join him? Everyone shook their heads in response, lips pursed solemnly. The official who performed the execution gave an approving nod to which the governor smiled. It was a genuine smile, the smug satisfaction of a man who crushed a pesky fly.
いつものように始末しておけ。
Good work.
ご苦労だったな。
You know what to do with the body. Yes, sir.The executioner bowed to the governor as he took his leave of the riverbank. He was followed by a retinue of samurai who seemed as though they had come out of nowhere. Meanwhile, the severed head stared back into the crowd, eyes unblinking. The farms and fisheries of the island were generally bountiful. It was rare for them to see a bad harvest or a small catch.There was no hope of an uprising. The island was too far from the mainland for anyone to have a chance of success. Hard as the peasants might fight, there were no potential allies for them to find. The island had been fairly independent until a few decades prior when a daimyo from the mainland declared it to be his property. Japan had entered its warring states period. Warlords and strongmen came to blows over land and powers. The shogun and his government in Muromachi became increasingly irrelevant.Where once the daimyo had been mere agents of the shogun's ultimate authority, they began to see themselves instead as the rightful owners of the lands they ruled. Each one was soon the king of its own petty fiefdom, ruling only as he saw fit, so laws could vary drastically from one territory to the next. As war raged across the land, it was not uncommon for the powers that be to change overnight. None of them was any concern to the people of this island, though. All that mattered to them was how their lives were becoming more and more unbearable.They kept hoping that it would soon be over. Soon things would change. Hope was a fire they were being cooked over while their bellies stayed open, empty rather, and their lives grew worse. They didn't know what people on the mainland called their island, Neshima, the Isle of Offerings. It was a fitting name. The islanders were the offerings. Nasa threw up, leaning against a wall outside the run-down row house he called home. He'd just come back from the riverbank. Why was it looking at me? What the hell? He could still see the severed head staring straight into his eyes. He couldn't get it out of his mind. It wasn't the first time. He had seen numerous peasants like himself lose their heads on that riverbank, and they always looked into his eyes. You could still see them, the memory swirling in his head. He hated going to the executions, but he couldn't help but think, what if it was him? What if it was his daughter? He couldn't just ignore them, he couldn't stay away, and every time they made eye contact. Throwing up again, Asa? You shouldn't waste good rice. Asa turned to see who was there, looking sick to his stomach. It was Kien, another peasant he knew from First Village. You do the same. They always look at me. I don't get... Oh, man up. You're freaking yourself out. You should be worried about sick little Sen-chan. Right. Sorry. Asa tried to pull himself together, appreciating the comforting way Gin was patting his back. Forget the others. If I don't figure out something soon, we'll be just as dead. He couldn't afford to waste what little there was in his stomach. Swallowing his bile, Asa cleared his throat, wiped his mouth, and then forced a laugh. I'm good now, thanks. If you say so. Ah, he was from Fifth Village, huh? The last one was Seventh, getting a lot of them lately. Not surprised. Gin glanced around to check for listening ears before he lowered his voice and continued. I know things have never been great, but this year's looking real bad. At this rate, we're good as dead. They might not be able to kill every weed in the field, but they're sure as hell trying. I hate it. The crack in Ace's voice spoke to how hopeless he felt in a way that words couldn't. Yeah, me too. Gin was hurting as well. The daimyo and his governors in the villages were taking nearly all the food for themselves. The taxes were beyond heavy. They left so little for the peasants that it seemed unlikely any of them would survive. It was still only autumn, so things were okay for the time being. Still, winter was on its way, and people's stores were already running low. They could all be dead by the end of the season. We're powerless. We're nothing to them. We're their slaves. There's gotta be something, anything. My wife and I are barely eating. I'm watching her wither away. Watch your voice before someone hears you. Gin shut his mouth and checked their surroundings again. There didn't appear to be anyone eavesdropping. Goddamn, I wish they'd do the execution somewhere else, like in the Daimyo's manor. Asa sighed and looked up at the manor. It overlooked all the villages of the island from on top of a hill. Gin nervously laughed at the remark. Haha. And you're telling me to watch my mouth? Whatever. He probably doesn't want our blood stinking up the place. Oh yeah, at the riverbank, he can just wash it off when it starts to smell. He thought back to the dead man looking into his eyes, and then he shook his head in frustration. I don't know what to do. Nothing we can do. They both sighed and gave up on talking. Soon they drifted listlessly back to their homes. Asa's door was stuck as usual. He's never going to get it fixed. However little effort, he got it to slide open. It didn't exactly smell nice inside, but he was home, and it made him somewhat less anxious. Daddy. Keep your butt in bed. Okay. His daughter Sen was sleeping in the corner. Aisa kicked off his straw sandals and went to her side. How are you feeling? I think I'm better now. You've got to rest. Come on, deep breaths. Okay. See, I'm fine. Sen tried to force a smile even as she coughed. Aisa watched with a solemn look on his face. I'm sorry, Daddy. I just want to get better. I want to help you in the fields. I don't want to be a burden. I know. That's why you have to rest. Okay. I'm sorry. His daughter was apologizing to him for being sick, but there wasn't a damn thing he could do to comfort her. All their most nourishing crops went straight to the governor. He'd already given Sen everything that was left over. Still, her health wasn't showing any signs of improvement. Tomorrow, I'll bring you something real filling. That'll help you get your strength back. He was lying. The only thing he could do for Sen was lie to her. Or was that just wishful thinking? Maybe he was actually lying to himself. Regardless, Sen laughed for him. It helped. Her smile was the only thing keeping Aisa going, even though he hated himself for how guilty he didn't feel about making her comfort him. Thank you. I'm sorry, Daddy. You don't have to apologize, sweetheart. Okay. Sen nodded after a long pause. Dead men's eyes were flashing before Aisa. Still sitting next to Sen, Aisa clenched his fist tight. I can't let her end up like them. I have to save her, come hell or high water. That's all that matters. He was sincere, but illness and starvation belonged to a different order of truth than mere sincerity. Weakly, Sen placed a hand on Aisa's fist. His grip was tight enough to draw blood, but he loosened it to let her slide her hand into his palm. Your hand's so warm, Daddy. Is that so? Yeah. Really warm. I get cold all alone. Sen smiled sheepishly. Sorry, Daddy. I shouldn't make you worry. I'm sorry. For all of her apologizing, Sen didn't let go. She was like a mewling stray hungry for attention. She knew he couldn't stay with her all the time. She was trying not to be selfish. But that just made her want to cling even harder. Don't worry. I'll stay with you until you fall asleep. Aisa bowed his head in relief as he squeezed her hand. It was bony and cold, but her pulse was still there. He wanted so badly to feel the life in her. Okay, thank you. She wasn't apologizing this time. Aisa smiled at that. But even as he sought warmth in his daughter's hand, he found himself being splashed in the face with the cold water of reality. Aisa was at a loss for what to do. How did it get to this point? He had heard things were different when his parents were little and his grandparents in their prime. The previous daimyo wasn't as bad. Back then, the islanders of Nishima had no reason to be interested in mainland politics. They blindly believed things would always be the same. What difference did it make to them who the daimyo's boss was? They paid their taxes reliably. What good would it do him to ask for more than they could offer? It struck Aisa as the attitude of sheep ripe for the slaughter. It must have been nice to believe they could live in peace forever. They never even thought to arm themselves. Hell, maybe that was the right call at the time. Their daimyo may not have been so lenient if he thought they were becoming a threat. Besides, life was good back then. As long as they kept him fed, he kept them safe from outside attack. I can't even imagine living that way. Aisa was grinding his teeth audibly. Taxes has only gone up since the start of the new daimyo's reign. At this point, the islanders were truly slaves. Whether farmer or fisher, they lived only to serve him. They couldn't hope for even the most basic of dignities. Was it really all because power had changed hands on the mainland? Maybe there was a bad harvest they were trying to make up for. But bad harvest didn't last for decades, and even if one had, it would be their problem to deal with themselves. If we let the daimyo keep having his way, we'll starve, but if we demand change, he'll kill us. Just like the ones who had lost their heads at the riverbank and stained the gravel red. Asa squeezed his daughter's hand as she coughed. No, no, we're doomed, and Sen's gonna be the first one to go. But even in his darkest hour, Asa wouldn't cry out to the gods for help. He knew his prayers would go unanswered. The idea of being reborn in paradise did nothing for him. He needed help in this life. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? Asa had a good head on his shoulders. He was careful and tried not to slip remarks about the governor or daimyo, but he could feel the pressure building all around him. There were 7 villages on the island, and each of them, people were reaching to the absolute limits of what they could take. Just a little push and they'd explode. But that'd just make things worse. We'd be goners. The daimyo's governors would hear about it if they started amassing weapons and stand a fighting chance. They'd have to muster far too large a force to move undetected. The daimyo would have plenty of time to rally his own troops. He and his personal army could weather a siege in his hilltop manor until reinforcements from the mainland arrived. And when they did, they'd kill the islanders. If they left any survivors, it would only be so they could continue to work the land for the daimyo. Things would be even worse than they are now for anyone who was still alive. The islanders would only have a chance of success if their strike was quick and decisive, and even then, they would still need some way of holding off the mainland. Overthrowing the daimyo alone was a tall order. Doing it without facing outside intervention would be impossible. Damn it, Sen's really gonna go. Not yet. Clenching his fists, Aisa watched his daughter sleep. Her breathing was strained. She was all skin and bones, but even so, she had such a look of pure innocence. It warmed her father's heart. There's gotta be something I can do for her. She's the only thing that really matters. He racked his brain for a way to save the one good thing in his life. Seeing him struggling to hold back his tears, Sen smiled at him. Daddy, am I sick with the same thing that Mommy had? Maybe so. Her mother had passed away a year prior. It was her lungs. Now Sen was displaying very similar symptoms. But it's not your fault. It was just bad luck. A lot of people have caught it. Oh, okay. She cast her gaze aside for a moment, enough time for Asa's heart to break. It wasn't the first time he'd seen that expression. His wife was one among many people who had given them that look. I'm going to die, aren't I? It was the look of a spirit who had given up. Don't say stuff like that. You aren't gonna die. I'm not gonna let you die. You can't leave me too. What would I do here all on my own? He didn't have any way of making good on his promise, but he had to say it. There are plenty of people all over who are sick just like you. Everyone on the island is looking for a cure. With how many people have it, I know they're going to find one soon. Oh, that makes sense. A hint of the will to live had returned to Sen's face. Asa was relieved, but he hated himself a little for misleading her. It's not a lie, it's not a lie. There's going to be a cure for Sen, for all the kids. There has to be. The very young, the very old, and anyone with a naturally weak constitution were catching it in droves. It began with a cough that wouldn't let up, then they would wither and die. They'd recover over time with rest and proper nutrition, but those affordances weren't available to the people of Naishima anymore. If there's no other way, she could steal away to the mainland. No, they'd kill her if they'd caught her. I can't let that happen. That'd be too risky, but they didn't have much time. I can't wait to get better. I want to play with my friends. Daddy, will you play with us too?
もちろんだと思う。だから今はしっかり休んで直すことに専念しろ。
Of course, sweetie. Daddy's gonna play with you. So for now, just rest up and focus on getting better. Alright, so that's all we're gonna do on this one right now. This is just a preview. It seems like it's going to get really tragic. And then some horror. I mean, this is considered horror. So there's gonna be supernatural horror and crazy shit that happens. But it's gonna be some tragedy first. And this is the tragedy that we're seeing right now. So if you guys want to pick up this game, you can get it at DL site and Steam. The Steam version of the game is censored. It doesn't have the gore scenes you saw. So you'll have to pick it up from DL site, and you'll actually save money because DL site has like a 15% coupon that I think everybody gets right now that you can use to buy the game much cheaper. So pick it up there, and don't worry about DRM or anything. You just download it and play it just as I have, and everything works. It's in English, don't worry about that. But yeah, some visual novels are going to be on DL site as well as, you know, Steam. So that's a cool thing, and it's uncut, so you don't have to worry about that on DL site. DL site's really doing some awesome things. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and I will see you guys next time on Grimm's... I don't know if this is hentai, I don't know if there's any adult scenes, but we're just going to call it Grimm's Visual Novel Corner for now. And we will see you next time for more great visual novels. And again, you can pick this one up, and we may go back to it around October. Not sure yet.